When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is so exciting looking for a new home, but it absolutely is overwhelming and daunting if you do not have the right resources. Homes.com is home shopping the way it should be. It's more than just a website. Homes.com is your personal guide to finding the perfect home. Get to know a neighborhood without ever setting foot in it. With Homes.com's comprehensive neighborhood details, you'll get in-depth guides, detailed videos, and unbiased insights from a variety of sources. Parents and parents-to-be will love Homes.com's detailed school information. From test scores to student-to-teacher ratios, you'll have the info you need to find the right schools for your kids. Having the right agent can make or break your home search. Homes.com's agent directory and profiles offer a detailed look at each agent's experience so you can find your perfect match. And Homes.com features a listing agent on each listing so you can easily connect with them without having to scramble to find contact info. Go to Homes.com to learn more. We've done your homework.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. In September 1958, Bank of America decided to try an experiment, one that would have far-reaching effects on our lives and on the economy. They decided, after careful consideration, to conduct this experiment in Fresno, California. The thinking was, no one was paying much attention to Fresno, so if the plan failed, it wouldn't get a lot of media attention.
Things were slow back then here. Fresno was not the big metropolitan area it is today.
That's Joseph Rusak.
My name is Joseph Rusak. I've worked with Bank of America since 1956 and retired in 1985. Started off as a teller and worked our way up, as most of us young fellows did.
Joseph was there when all this went down. And so, in September of 1958, Bank of America sent out 60,000 pieces of mail to people in Fresno. Inside was a little plastic object that has become in equal parts emblematic of opportunity, convenience, and debt.
He's talking about the credit card.
That's reporter Nate Berg, here to tell you what I'm talking about.
Bank of America had recruited about 300 merchants in Fresno to accept this new payment system. And they'd asked employees like Joseph to hand credit cards out to people they knew.
We did. We passed around to our friends and, you know, the neighbors. That's about it.
But as for Joseph, he was skeptical about using a credit card himself.
To be honest with you, I don't remember if I took a card right off the bat or not, or if I waited a couple years. But because as a banker, I didn't really believe in credit myself.
Why not?
Well, you have to pay back interest, and I don't like giving money away.
Joseph wasn't alone. The whole town of Fresno was a bit nervous about this new credit card system.
The concept of credit wasn't new, but it had never been done quite like this.
Going back into, say, the 1800s, early 1900s, if you had credit with a store or some kind of a business, it was just kind of a ledger book type of thing.
This is Ken Hallenbeck. He's a numismatist.
A numismatist.
That is, someone who studies or collects currency.
Not just coins, but it's paper money, metals, tokens, anything that's a money or a money substitute.
Ken is retired now, but he used to work at the American Numismatic Association.
Numismatic.
So back in the late 1800s, every place from the corner bar to the local pharmacy allowed patrons to keep open tabs. They'd record everything in a ledger book and allow their customers to charge up a bill that they'd typically pay back at the end of the month. For businesses, this was an accounting nightmare.
Stores could have hundreds of accounts billing tabs for a dollar here and a dollar there, and with each charge, a shopkeeper would have to haul out a ledger book and look up a customer's records just to complete a transaction.
Eventually, store owners cut down on some of the paperwork by assigning customers account numbers, which they would inscribe on little tokens.
Most of them were round or oval, a hole in them, and they had a number on them, and that was your account number.
Ken has a collection of a few dozen of these old credit tokens, many dating back to the early 20th century.
I have one here. It says Pocahontas Pioneer Garage, but it has a head of an Indian on it. And on the back, it has a number 839.
After credit tokens came something called charge-a-plates. They look like little dog tags for the army. They were metal and had your name and information imprinted on them.
Shopkeepers could make an impression of your personal information directly onto the bill, instead of having to write it all down.
But the more accounts you had, the more charge-a-plates and tokens you had to carry around with you. It still wasn't a great system for the retailer or the customer.
So in 1949, a New York businessman named Frank X. McNamara came up with an idea for a single charge card that could be accepted at multiple establishments.
He called it the Diner's Club card, and with it, you could make charges at a number of New York restaurants and hotels.
But unlike the credit card of today, you could only use your Diner's Club card in certain places.
The idea caught on somewhat. About 20,000 people signed up, mostly businessmen. It wasn't a smash success, but still, the banks started to see an opportunity.
So you have this giant change taking place right around World War II, and especially in the aftermath of World War II, when the American economy was basically the only economy in the world that was still standing.
That's Joe Nocera, columnist for the New York Times and author of A Piece of the Action, How the Middle Class Joined the Money Class.
People, having gotten through the war, you know, settling down, getting married, raising kids, wanting to live in the suburbs, there were suddenly things they wanted to buy. A refrigerator, for example. Or, as it came into vogue, a television.
So maybe you'd have a Sears account. You could buy things there and pay your bill at the end of the month.
But if you didn't have an account with a store, you'd have to go to a bank and get a traditional loan for any relatively large purchase.
Whether it was a car, whether it was a sofa, whether it was a refrigerator, you'd go to the bank every single time. Every single time, you had to, have collateral to pay for it. Every single time, the banker would have to figure out whether you were a good credit risk. It was a pretty cumbersome process, both for the consumer and for the bank.
Bank of America wanted to find an easier way to make these small loans.
Bank of America was, in the 1950s, the premier consumer-oriented bank in the United States. Bank of America really believed in the idea that it would grow by helping consumers.
So it was Bank of America that decided that they would basically give clients a card that they could put in their pockets that would give them roughly a $500 line of credit.
Unlike the Diner's Club, Bank of America wanted their customers to be able to use their card anywhere, not just at restaurants. And where the Diner's Club had to be paid off within 60 days, Bank of America would allow its customers to pay them back whenever they wanted. They'd call their new credit card the Bank AmeriCard.
You could spend it all down, you could pay part of it back, you could pay it all back.
You didn't have to get a banker to approve your purchase, and you didn't have to pay the bank back by any specific time. They called this revolving credit.
The card was essentially an instant loan. Of course, it was a loan with an interest rate attached.
This was one of the profound shifts in the way people handle money. Instead of the banker being in control of your money, of setting the terms for how you dealt with your money, with a credit card, you were the one setting the terms, and you were the one making the decisions about what to do with your money.
Now, all Bank of America had to do was convince retailers to accept credit cards as payment and convince people to use them.
Now, because they were a new invention, and because people didn't really know what they were, and because there were no laws surrounding credit cards, the way they tested the card was they simply sent a mailing to basically every Bank of America customer in Fresno, California.
Which brings us back to Fresno.
They called it the Fresno Drop. Bank of America mailed out 60,000 credit cards all over the city. Fresno had become a laboratory for the future of personal finance.
The Fresno Drop was supposed to be a controlled experiment where the bank could test the concept and work out any kinks.
But within just a few months of the Fresno credit card drop, Bank of America got word that one of its competitors in California was planning a similar program.
So Bank of America quickly expanded. Mass mailings went out in the Central Valley cities of Modesto and Bakersfield, and then eventually to the state's bigger cities of Sacramento, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Within 10 months of the Fresno drop, more than 1 million Bank AmeriCards had been mailed out across California.
Once the cards had begun saturating the bigger cities, fraud and theft were rampant.
People would go around to mailboxes in the suburbs and steal cards on days when they knew the cards were being dropped.
The system was being abused, but the system was also randomly mailing out pre-approved credit cards that allowed anyone to buy up to $500 of whatever they wanted.
You know, dead people were getting cards, dogs were getting cards. It was just very, very willy-nilly.
Despite these mass mailings, the cards didn't catch on right away. It was hard to convince stores to accept them. They had to pay a percentage of the sale to the bank, and it was hard to get customers to use them.
And when people did start using the cards, they didn't always pay the money back, which was a bit of a surprise to Bank of America. People had mostly been pretty good about paying back traditional loans.
And what they forgot was, in those days, when you made a loan, the customer looked the banker in the eye, and the banker looked the customer in the eye, and they both had this kind of relationship. And the customer would not want to let the banker down. Whereas with a credit card, it was an anonymous thing.
And this anonymity meant one in four people weren't paying their credit card debts.
In 1959, about a year after Bank of America did their first mass mailing in Fresno, they had mailed out more than 2 million Bank AmeriCards. But they hadn't made a single cent from their experiment. In fact, they lost about $20 million.
And so the bank started making a few changes.
They really started to think about it differently.
Bank of America set up a collections department and an anti-fraud unit. People who weren't paying their bills had their cards revoked.
And the government also started to regulate the credit card industry. In 1968, the Truth in Lending Act made it illegal to mail out credit cards to people who never asked for one.
From that point onward, instead of getting a card in the mail, you got instead a solicitation to apply for a card, which in one form or another exists to this day.
It wasn't until 1961, 3 years after the Fresno drop, that Bank of America actually turned a profit on their crazy credit card experiment. By 1968, they were making about $13 million a year.
The Bank of America system, which became a nationwide system, eventually became known as Visa. And the other cards that had competed with Bank of America, they also consolidated and they became MasterCard.
The major credit card companies now make lots and lots and lots of money every year, which is great for them. Maybe not so great for the rest of us.
Today, over 70% of American adults have at least one credit card, and the U.S. as a whole has about $900 billion in credit card debt. In 2009, more credit card reform was passed. It prevents arbitrary interest hikes, stops credit card companies from specifically marketing to college kids, prohibits certain types of abusive fees. But a lot of people think more reform is needed.
The experiment in Fresno created a tool that made buying things much, much easier. You no longer had to put on a suit and a tie and go to the bank for a loan every time you wanted to get yourself something nice. The credit card facilitated an unprecedented amount of economic freedom for the middle class, and that aspect was intentional and maybe even noble. But it's important to keep in mind that first and foremost, the credit card was designed to make money for banks, and everything about their design betrays that primary objective. Credit cards don't have to be complicated. They don't have to trick you, but they do, because they were designed that way.
My bills are all due. And the babies need shoes, but I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter a pound, and I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that get bigger each day. The county will haul my belongings away. I'm busted.
99% Invisible was produced this week by Nate Berg, with Katie Mingle, Avery Truffleman, Sam Greenspan, Kurt Kohlstedt, and me, Roman Mars. The new kids at 99PI starting today are Delaney Hall and Sharif Youssef. We are a project of 91.7 KALW San Francisco and produced out of the offices of ArcSign, an architecture and interiors firm in beautiful downtown Oakland, California.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels features locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. That's what I like. I like to be within walking distance of all this stuff. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. With so many hotel brands, Choice Hotels allows you to prioritize what you need. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Use Squarespace to create a website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to time, all in one place. With the new guided design system Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in certain countries, give customers the chance to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. I built my own website on Squarespace, RomanMars.com, and the best part about it is I added some dynamic features, and I do not have to tend to it all the time. It just works. Head to Squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to Squarespace.com/invisible to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So my wife and I wanted to take a couple of the kids to see Taylor Swift in concert. We signed in with pre-sale fan codes and logged in on separate devices, each going after a different venue. And then we got bounced out of different venues. And then she managed to get tickets in Minneapolis. So when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/99. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/99. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/99. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
You can find this show and like the show on Facebook. We're all on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and Spotify, and we are fascinating on every platform. But the easiest way to get more information on every single episode of 99% Invisible is at 99pi.org.
Radiotopia.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Feel like you got enough to do already? I do. That's why I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up with my busy life. They know the snacks I like down to the extra creamy in my peanut butter. I can get deliveries at home, on set, or even when I'm away on vacay. And my personal shopper, Amber, she's got my back. As in, she asks them to check the back if it's not on the shelf. Shipt. Delight in every delivery. Learn more at shipt.com/hi.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff, like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.